At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It's September 4th, 2025. It's time for your TNA Impact live post-show. We're live and the show was live tonight. So technically nothing I'm saying is wrong, but instead I've just confused you even further because that's what I do. I am at Joel Pearl, thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. And of course, as always, I am joined for the last time for a little while, the illustrious, fantastico, my ride or die, and I don't know what I'll do without her. Probably go solo or hire SP3 a few times. The one and only Cresta Starr joins me one more time. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I am happy to be going on break, but I'm sad because I will miss all of you.
Don't lie to the people.
Okay, I'll miss Joel Pearl.
Don't lie to me.
Okay.
I'm leaving. Forever.
Not forever. Actually, I like harassing you guys every week. You guys give me a platform to yell about wrestling, and this is the best job ever.
Well, we're glad that you're only leaving for a short time and not for a long time, and we look forward to you coming back. But we still got tonight. We'll still have tonight.
We still have tonight. TNA Live, Joel.
So much fun. And people are talking about football in the chat, so clearly we are like number two, number four, number 28. I get it. It's fine. I understand.
I don't know anything about football. So good luck, guys. I hope your team wins.
I'm Canadian. It means nothing to me. The Canadian Football League means even less to me. I once went to a game, lasted three quarters, and said, I'm out.
I didn't know Canada had American football, to be honest with you.
No, it's called Canadian football, hence the CFL.
Like, is it pigskin or is it soccer? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Oh, we have both. We have both. Yeah. But one team's good. I don't know which one, though, but they exist. And also on top of that, the Buffalo Bills used to come to Toronto a few times a year during the regular season. That doesn't happen anymore because,
you know, throwing balls is great, but I like throwing men. And that's why we watch TNA.
And I like it when y'all leave a thumbs up on the video and subscribe to our channel. We're over 200,000 strong. Next week, we are going to be here. This show will exist. I will be doing a post show. SP3 might join me. However, we are going to be in direct competition to whatever Sean Ross Sapp has decided to put together with our friends Kate and Alex from Sour Graps, because they're doing a Freddy Got Fingered review. Not a wrestling show. It is the movie, the Tom Green movie. Shout out to Tom Green from my hometown of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. They're going to review it. And that's next Thursday, September the 11th. They'll make the jokes. We'll still be here. Don't know why, but we will be in direct competition. And if there's one thing I know about direct competition is that I want to see you fight, fight for your parents' love. Fight, 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 fight. I got to get a Simpsons reference in. Anyway, Impact Live tonight. Cresta Starr, that was the awkwardest ending they've done to an Impact Live in quite a long time.
We were getting all of our money's worth. Corporate Cresta says they were maximizing their minutes. Don't know if they maximize it, but they did use all 60 seconds in every minute.
They found a way to thank every single partner they have, including all of their broadcast partners. And I was sitting there being like, someone missed their spot. Someone missed their mark. They had to go through the Bound for Glory card one more time. They had to explain to you what was happening next week. They had to tell you that they love where they are. They had every opportunity to plug everything before they got out of there. They even had the awkward walkout of the Nemeths after they had taken out the Hardys and Mara Sade after the main event. They went all out on whatever that finish was. It's been a long time stretching it out.
Like I said, they used every second of that 60 seconds. I'm actually tired of Mara Sade doing the intergender matches because she's getting beat up every week. And I could think of three other people who deserve that. And she's not one of them.
You know what? Shout out to her. She's come in and she's being placed at a high level and she's competing at a high level. And it's been solid stuff. She had great interaction in the ring tonight, hit a beautiful moonsault. It's good to see her working and it's good to see her evolving a character. And you know what? The fact that the guys are like, let's have the spots with her. I think it bodes well for Mara. And I think it looks good for getting heat on the guys sometimes.
I have a whole bunch of thoughts about this Hardy Mara Sade dynamic, but I will wait for our main event. But I have nothing but positive things to say. My only complaint is, yo, Agent Zero, keep your hands to yourself, all right? And same goes for you, all right, Mr. Nemeth. Don't be mad because her blonde bob is better than yours, all right? Don't piss me off.
I mean, his hair is nice and ironed, right?
I don't know, but her blonde bob situation was given wet. It was given, I don't know, it looked nice. His hair always looks nice. He has a Tanahashi blowout, if you will.
We had both, we had Dijak on Monday or on Tuesday, but we had Bishop Dyer, the former Baron Corbin, mm-hmm. on In the Weeds today. He did it over an hour with us. And why am I bringing this up? It's because for those who don't know, both Nick Nemeth and Tom Pestick, Bishop Dyer, are on Busted Open, who are our enemies over on.
Not our enemies.
Yes, we are the better morning show, as we have said. Busted Open is not nearly as good as In the Weeds. So we spent an hour trying to convince Bishop Dyer to come and join In the Weeds and be a guest host. And you know what? We did a really good job with it. So kudos to us. Nick Nemeth, you're next. We will have you on at one point to discuss your impending work with our show.
I guess you could say he's a wanted man. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you're leaving.
You know what? Same. Somebody escort me out.
It's going to be like John Skyler having to move Agent Zero out of the way. All right, buddy, you're done for tonight.
Grandma, you're confused. Let's go to bed.
Let's go home, Grandma. Back in my day, Bound for Glory was headlined by the world title match. Yeah, we'll see.
And then Ultimate X matches and the Bound for Glory tournament. All right, Grandma, go to sleep. The internet, too, was on dial-up. Yes, Grandma.
I remember those days. Beep, bloop. Anyway, shout out to TNA Impact tonight. They open up with Santino's special announcement. He announces it's official. It's going to be Trick Williams versus Mike Santana for the TNA World title at Bound for Glory. Not announced officially as the main event yet. I think that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye out for. And I really hope people remember to keep an eye out for when they announce this as the main event, because I don't think they will, but we'll see. Mike Santana comes out. Cresta, I don't know if you remember Joe Hendry when he was going after the TNA title. Do you remember what they called it? What they called his approach to the world title?
I totally forgot, but it was equally as corny as Path of Purpose, respectfully.
They called it the completing the mission. And completing the mission was Cody's finish the story, and now it's the Path of Purpose. And oh my God, please stop trying to redo the Cody trope. You can tell that the people who are writing this show, I've told you who they are, need to stop doing the same thing year after year for the same story for no purpose. And when they heard Path of Purpose, I immediately said, what is wrong with y'all? You dropped the mission last year when we and others called, I'm not saying it was me, but there were other people who called it out and said, this is corny. This is corny again. The Path of Purpose is not this. Do not try it again. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go immediately to the newest hotel and try to rebuild.
Santana, I will say, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead, because I was going to keep going through the promo. I'll give you a shot.
I will say that, and I hate to live in the past, but you really could have had something special with Slammiversary in New York City. You'll never come to the Bronx. We've accepted that. There's no place besides Yankee Stadium that you could do it in the Bronx or the Bronx Zoo, but that would be crazy. But I digress. I repeating the same old reheated nachos when the original nachos had its own problems. We were complaining that Cody took too long. And then you did it with Joe, who I forgot worked here for a hot second tonight, because I've seen him more on WWE programming than I've seen him on TNA, but I digress Jones right now. I don't see why we have to do this for Mike Santana, because I believe in my hardest of hearts, Mike Santana is way more than credible than to do a path of purpose. And the way you're setting it up too, I know what Frankie Kazarian said about going after Macklin, but the way you're setting it up too, there's going to be another Frankie Kazarian. Just why are you so afraid to go all in on people? But the people who you're like, okay, you know what? Let's do it. I'm sports confused. I have sports questions. Mike Santana should have been one this, but again, that's me living in the past. I'm over this path of purpose. Complete the mission. It sounds all like euphemisms for sperm.
Did I ever tell you the story about the guy who did the theme song, who played out Santana, finding our show where we talked about him? Not this one, but In the Weeds, because I mentioned it. So on In the Weeds, the Monday after Slammiversary, we were talking about the show, and I gave a shout out to the guy, and I called him Boricua Fat Joe. And I'd seen other people mention him this way too. And the dude found our episode and commented on the episode being like, you know what? Boricua Fat Joe is wild, but I'll take it. And I want to shout him out, but I don't have him. I don't have the name in front of me, but shout out to that guy. He rules. And he did a great job that night, but I just found it very funny that he tracked down our stupid show and commented on it. And he knew that we were just having fun. Dude rules. He was great. Very good sport. We'll probably have him on eventually, actually. But anyway, long story short, Santana comes out, says he's going to bring the title home for his family, for his daughter, for the fans, and for TNA. And then he's going to keep showing up at TNA, he's going to keep showing up at NXT now to confront Trick Williams, because Trick's not coming back to TNA before Bound for Glory, or at least that's what he's saying. And that's exactly what you want your talent at the end of their contract year to say. That they're just going to go to the competition and they're just going to show up there week after week and they're going to do the thing that goes anyway. I'm hearing it and I'm just like, all right, you're just running them to the other show. That's fine. Go for it.
I mean, you're not wrong. First and foremost, you have to give Santana his gots at some point. I remember Santana from LAX and TNA, and he was a phenomenal monster there. So give him his title run, give him his singles run here. That being said, I truly, 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 truly feel that way. Though what you said about you keep running them over to NXT. Joe, Masha, Santana. It's kind of like, I get it. You can only send certain people over there. But they're sending anybody over here. You know what I mean? There are people who look and feel the part for NXT. But all of those people are either former NXT or at the top of the card. Zaya Brookside, there is no other person who, in my opinion, besides Joe, who was made for NXT, but she used to be in NXT UK. So, you know, and Joe, to me, has WWE presentation written all over him. If they treat him right, he could be great. I hate to say it for Santana as well, but that's like all of your top card, not even Joe no more, because Joe don't work here no more. That's how I feel. And don't even get me started on Masha. I'm looking forward to a Masha Slamovich versus Rhea Ripley match. And that's sad because I should be looking forward to a Masha versus an indie match or Masha versus Danny Luna. But you kind of like, hey, go see what greener pastures look like. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, why are we doing? I get why, but also.
I didn't say this last week or 2 weeks ago. When Masha came out at NXT Heatwave to a completely different theme than her TNA theme, I immediately thought, oh, they're testing. They're doing a screen test with this woman. And you could tell because they did not use her TNA theme. And I don't think there's any rights issues with it because it's pretty sure it's an in-house theme, but they didn't use it. And that was strange. It's not like there's a lyric in there or some verbiage that you can't use. Like, I don't know. It was just very different. Very strange.
Play that music from Grandma's Boy. That's what it sounds like. And I live.
Anyway, backstage later on, Moose runs into Mike Santana as Santana's walking backstage. Moose wishes him luck, says he wrestled both men, including Santana, last year at Bound for Glory, and he thinks that Santana can bring it on home. AJ Francis walks in. He's on the phone with Trick Williams, tells him Santana's going to come to NXT, basically warns him because he's a big old snitch, and then says Moose left the NFL when AJ debuted because Moose was afraid of him. And then next week they're going to do Moose versus AJ Francis. And then he had the line of the night, which listen, shout out to someone like Moose who was hopefully okay with it. AJ says Moose's biggest fight since picking up your tongue when you talk. Moose does have a pronounced, what's the word?
Lisp.
Lisp. Thank you. I was going to say it's not slur. It's a lisp. And yes, Moose does have a lisp. And that was AJ taking a shot.
I'm glad you enjoyed this. I just found like AJ's always been on the corny cusp. He's all, that's his character. He's corny. That's fine. But this tonight was just too corny for me. This was, you were all the way on the cob. You had extra butter. You might have been the lote at that point.
Thank you.
This was very corny. This was very, very corny. Because it's like, yeah, when I started, you were leaving. Because he's old. Like, pal, how old is Moose compared to you? Two bald bastards fighting, I guess.
Fantastic. Oh, by the way, because we're 15 minutes in, leave a super chat. Get your question or statement right on the air, because I completely breeze through that. Yeah, super chats. Get your question or statement right on the air. It supports the channel, supports the creators like us who give you these shows every single week and then some. And of course, you can go over to humperchats.com. Cress is going to tell them why, when, and how, and where.
Why? Go to humperchats.com because we get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. How? Humperchats.com. That's HUMPERCHATS. When? Now. Right now. Yesterday. While the show in the future. Right now. What? Humperchats.com. Because we love you. You love us. Fightful Select, baby.
Woo. Let's move on, shall we? Gia Miller with the Hardys and Sade. They all just say that Agent Zero Big Bill is a big old coward.
Yes.
I got nothing to add to that.
Me either.
Ryan Nemeth comes out. I thought this was actually lead. This block was a lot of fun. Ryan Nemeth comes out, says, my big brother returns tonight. And I could have sworn that they had promoted the Hardys having a match tonight, but I guess that's tomorrow for the tapings, or tonight at the tapings that are being aired next week. So instead, Nemeth comes out, says, my big brother returns tonight. Matt Cardona comes out, says, hey, I've got a match. Ryan, go away. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares, which I thought was very funny. Ryan says Cardona has brother envy, which I've never heard anyone say that shit before. And I don't know why it popped me, but it was so silly. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to do Matt Cardona versus Nick Nemeth, chapter 35. 34 times these two have had a singles one-on-one match together. This would be the 35th if and when they do Cardona and Nemeth. These two will either love working each other or are so damn sick of each other that they just say, all right, fine, one last time. It's amazing.
Does Matt Cardona have a brother that wrestles?
I don't think Matt Cardona doesn't have a brother. I think he's an only child.
I thought they said on commentary that he does have a brother.
Maybe he does. I
Matthew Raywalt has been known to lie.
Fair. I don't think he has one.
And Tom Hannafin has been known to, you know, stretch the truth. So I'm not saying that they're liars. I just want to know if Matt Cardona got a brother, because TNA has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever.
I'm looking it up. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have any siblings.
Like Professor X, he killed them in the womb. There can only be one Matt Cardona.
Maybe there is a little brother. Oh, no, Matt Cardona does have a brother. My bad.
Hey. I mean, Brian Myers could always do it, you know.
He does not look a lot like his brother.
Oh, no. Now I want to see.
Anyway, that was fair. It was funny. It was stupid. It brings out Frankie Kazarian. He defeats Matt Cardona. It takes 20 minutes before we get to the first match. So this is a very WWE presentation style match. But either way, Ryan Nemeth is used as a human shield, and then he continues to get in the way for Frankie Kazarian. They do the double down spot, but they do it three times with three different moves where they each do the same thing and take each other down with it. They do, what was it? It was the double crossbody, the double leg, and the double clothesline. And I thought that was really funny and really good stuff. Ryan distracts. There's the slingshot from Kazarian for a near fall. And when Cardona goes to use the unpretty her. Matt Raywalt being, you know, you've got a desperate, you're desperate when you got to use your wife's move.
Raywalt, shut up. Because that popped me so hard every time. Like, he loves his wife. Okay. If my husband doesn't love me enough to do my finisher, get out. I don't want it.
Nemeth attacks again. Cardona hits a Sack Rider. Kazarian takes advantage, hits the fade to black. He gets the win. Post-match, Gia Miller comes out and says, hey, did you know that you needed help to win this match? I'm like, damn, Gia Miller, what is up for your butt?
Gia tonight for real.
Yeah, she was on one. It was very funny. But of course, in canon, in kayfabe, everybody hates Frankie because of what he did at Slammiversary to screw everyone else out of the title and trick retaining. Frankie's like, I'm just going to interview myself. And he calls out Steve Macklin, says, I want the international title, says the title should be held by a man of honor, class, and dignity, not a dirty jarhead living off of service and old lame old war stories.
That was wild.
And you know what? Frankie Kazarian is the perfect opponent because he is so good at getting heat and getting away with it. He's hella annoying. And for these two, this could be a really fun story that they can tell. Macklin runs out. He lays the title out. That's that. That's it for Steve Macklin. By the way, could plug it now. Tomorrow morning on In the Weeds, 10 a.m. Eastern, Deonna Purrazzo and Steve Macklin will be on the show to promote their new podcast, Boots to Boots. That their podcast drops September 15th. They're going to join us in the morning to talk about that. So go check that out. That's 10 a.m. Eastern on In the Weeds, myself and Jeremy, along with Macklin and Deonna Purrazzo. Very much looking forward to that. For those who don't know, Deonna was our very first guest ever on In the Weeds, and Macklin was on the week after that, and this was after they had both won the Knockouts world title and the TNA world title, or the Impact world title at the time. So very much looking forward to catching up with those two. Go ahead, let's talk about all of this, from Frankie to Nemeth to Macklin.
Ryan Nemeth continues to be the most annoying person in TNA, and it's the right role for him. He knows exactly what he's doing, and I gotta give credit where credit is due. I love Matt Cardona. I think he's fantastic. I'm tired of Matt Cardona losing, but he never looks bad when he loses. It's just that he's really tall, so it looks imposing when he loses. Frankie Kazarian, you're the worst. I hate you. You sports disgust me. But he's doing his job, too. I can't even be mad at that. I will say, though, again, a dirty jarhead is insane. That's insane. That's insane. I want specifically, and I'm a nobody, okay? But if Steve Macklin puts you, Frankie Kazarian, in the Venus de Milo, oh!
I don't know if Macklin's that limber.
I need you to ask him, to ask his wife to teach him the rings of Saturn to put it. If you put it on Frankie Kazarian, I swear to God, I'd pee myself. Because first of all, Frankie Kazarian is mad tall. Second of all, Frankie Kazarian's been disrespecting everyone. And besides the angle slam, because all your limbs are in the air, I think nothing's more demoralizing than having your head and chest on the floor while your arms are back here looking like you're about to take off. If that happens, I don't know. I think I'll train to be a wrestler. I don't know.
By the way, check out the interview that Frankie did with our own Sean Ross Sapp this week. Go check that out on the channel after tonight's show.
And like you said, too, Frankie is the perfect guy for this, because where we don't hate the system as much, we definitely hate Frankie Kazarian.
And this is what Macklin has needed in terms of a foil. This is the right opponent for him right now. He's been dealing with the hardcore tweeners. Like, people want to like Mance Warner. People want to like AJ Francis is AJ Francis. But like, Jake Something is another one. Jake Something is someone that people want to cheer, or at least wanted to get behind. Frankie is someone that everyone can hate. And they're trying to get Macklin over as this babyface guy, as not only that, but like as a pillar of TNA. And if you don't have someone who is diametrically opposed to him on the depth chart, then you don't have a good story, or you don't necessarily have something that can work. You can have good matches with a lot of people, but if you don't have a good story to tell, then what are you going to do? Him and Eric Young, it worked because they were diametrically opposed. They were two different characters at different times telling a story that worked. This is why I hope that the Kazarian feud kind of opens up the international title a little bit more. This is The one black mark on the international title since its existence is, it's two things. One is that it hasn't been defended internationally, even though that's the easiest thing you could do. You've got international partners and places you go internationally where Macklin takes booking. Anyway, point is, it could be defended internationally. And number two is you haven't made it the number one title while Trick has been running around with the TNA world title and pretending like it's nothing. That's another black mark on Trick Williams. I watched him on NXT this past week, and like, the TNA title was secondary to everything else he was talking about. He didn't care that he had it. And that's been a big problem with the TNA presentation and the NXT presentation of Trick Williams, is that he comes out, cuts a promo, and if he's in NXT, he's getting cheered, even though he's a bad guy, because the PC crowd loves him no matter what. He ran them down and they still clapped for him. He said, I'm going to do better on Raw and SmackDown, and they still clap for him. He's wearing that title, and it's apathy. It's just apathy, and that's the worst thing to be in wrestling. So as a result, I would rather something like the international title, which is around the guy's waist, who's trying to say, this is TNA, I'm the last TNA champion. Why aren't you making this that title? And I know people are then going to say, like, oh, you're one of Macklin's boys, blah, blah, blah. No. Do I like Steve Macklin? Yes. Have we talked in the past on camera? Yes. Does that mean that I go to bat for him for everything? No. I think he's had some shitty stories too, and he's not always 100%. But this is one thing where I just think you could have done a lot more with the international title while you had the NXT TNA world title BS going on in the background. So my two cents. I don't know if you have anything to add on the all of this.
I do think that's a fair critique, though. Like, well, the international thing, there was also the intercontinental title, and the only, you know, the name is semantics at this point. You know what I mean? I get what you're saying, but
they got lucky when AEW changed it to the unified title, because now there are no more international titles in wrestling. So for them, like, it's an open road to have the international title in TNA.
That's fair. I do see your point, though. I do think that if we're going to do this angle where TNA is getting ran through by NXT, if you have a secondary championship, which it feels like this was specifically created for that, why not make it feel just as important? I like Macklin as a champion, but I will say there are three or four other things that aren't championship related that feel more important than his title reign, which I don't like. I like that he did Jake something. I like that you said Frankie Kazarian is somebody you could beat up. But even with Frankie Kazarian, it's going to feel like, okay, beat up Frankie Kazarian, of course. But who's next? What else? What do we do here? I think that sometimes TNA has a problem with building up other people, because either you build them up too much where it's like, okay, are you doing this? What do you mean you're not doing this? Or you don't build up anyone at all. It's like, why is he getting a title shot? And that's just me personally. If y'all don't feel that way, that's fine. I'm leaving for 6 weeks and maybe I'll change my mind. So that's fine.
I could see Frankie winning, by the way. I could see in their first encounter him winning, him stealing away the title, and then they continue the feud. It can be easily a three-match scenario where they don't hot potato it, but at least Frankie has it for a time. After stealing it from Macklin, Macklin goes on a side quest, wins his way back into number one contendership, and that's that. Or Frankie wins the title. This is a pretty it's a pretty normal trope. Mm-hmm. You can have Frankie win the title, Macklin call his rematch, lose it, like lose the match, due to nefarious means maybe.
Yeah.
And then he has to work his way back up to another shot at the title where he gets Frankie one-on-one with a cage or no one's allowed at ringside, like one of those scenarios where it's got to be one-on-one and it's got to be won this way, or you let him have all the plunder. You get him, you know, you do one of those matches where anyone can get involved, but I get a street fight or I get to use weapons. There are ways that you can tell the story, but it's pretty solid way to do it, if you ask me.
I also feel like the international title pool is Macklin, something, Manswaner. Kazarian does what he wants, but who else is in the international title pool?
There will be people soon. Someone in the chat mentioning putting the international title on Worlds Collide, the Triple A show. I've been saying going to Mexico is such an easy thing for Macklin to do because it's WWE owned and TNA has the partnership with WWE. There's no reason why they couldn't make that deal work given the circumstances of the deals and the partnerships. They just haven't done it yet. I think and I feel like they might, but I can't confirm anything because I don't know if this is something that TNA is really serious about when they use international as a championship.
Yeah. I think him versus, like, I'm trying to think, someone who has an opposite style to Macklin, which I think would be very interesting to watch, would be him versus Iho Davikingo. And I'm thinking about how that match would work, because Macklin's not a high flyer, but I think, in my opinion, he's a decent base. You know what I mean?
Davikingo's also a good guy, so you want to match him up against a heel. You want to match him up against someone that he can get good heel or that he can get good shine on.
I think that's a problem all across wrestling, though. No one's really a heel. There's a lot of people who say mean stuff, but are too cool for school. MJF, Darius Carter are like two people I could think off the top of my head who are straight heels, but everyone else just says heel stuff. Even MVP, like you said you'd kill somebody, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool to me, pal.
Yeah. Again, that's why I go back to Kazarian and why I go back to AJ Francis and I go back to those guys, because they do know what this is about. They do know that it's not about being cool. They do know it's about getting heat and telling a story, not just being cool. Listen, cool sells merch. That's fine. And in an industry where you got to sell some merch to make some money, I get it. But you've got to have a way to tell your story and still make people want more from it.
And even Eric AJ Francis, I don't feel like a heel. He still, even though I think he's heel. Corny, but like, even then he's still cool.
But because he's corny, that's why people boo him. People are more, you watch people clown on him on socials all day. I think he's really good at playing a bad guy who, if you know, he's a good dude. Like, you know, he's a nice person. Again, I'll go back to Bishop Dyer, Baron Corbin, who was on the show yesterday. Or today, whatever day it is, he is a bad guy, but he is also one of the nicest dudes. Because if you know, you know. If they're playing the role effectively, then you can buy into it. And that's what you need fans to do, is buy into the characters they're playing. And they, the wrestlers, also have to be willing to adjust and get the right heat for the moment, assuming they are playing a bad guy.
True.
And I think AJ is really good at that. I think that he can have a slick one-liner, but then he's going to get the shit kicked out of him in the match and people are going to cheer. No, that's the reality of it. Like, he can make that line to Moose, but if Moose wins because of that line, like, that's the give and take of the story.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at, no, because you're right. How many times have I seen AJ Francis do something really messed up and then get clotheslined? You see all 6-7 of him just, oops, it is.
That's it. And so that's why I'm saying you need those characters, and they do exist, but there are a lot of people who think that you need to be, again, I don't want to harp on Trick, but Trick is one of those guys, and that's a creative issue. That's not a Trick issue. He should be trying harder to get heat and not relying on saying, let's talk about it as his way, or trying to be slick talk. And that's fine. You can do that, but you got to find a way to get heat for it. And he's not doing that because he's too cool. And then people just want to let it go.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Again, going back to the crux of it, Kazarian and Macklin makes a lot of sense. It can tell a great story because these two guys are, again, diametrically opposed on the depth chart. They will be great at telling a story with a good guy and a bad guy going after a title.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah. The inspiration, they're still going after the Knockouts tag titles, of course. And they say they'll be watching the celebration by Elegance. So that's next. Iceman got them gifts. They got art commissioned by the brothers, uncles, cousins, sisters, brother-in-law's nephews, neighbor of Picasso, to which Ash by Elegance yells, "I got a Picasso!" I thought at first she said, "I know Picasso," as if she's just a ditzy dumb blonde. I thought that would have been a good line. But anyway, they unveil it. It's her as a queen. I think it was AI art. And if it was, I'm not happy about that. The only thing I have to go by is the way that the letters on the Knockouts title look. It looks very AI swirly art. And I'm hoping I'm wrong, but it could just be the style. I just think it was AI. I'm going to find out, but I think it was. At which point, not cool. They gave her a bottle of champagne by Elegance, which would come into play later. And Ash calls herself TNA Savior, says Masha couldn't even do it. So Masha comes out, says it's her versus Ash at Victory Road for the Knockouts title. Masha knocks down Heather and M. Ash throws champagne in her face. M keeps her damn heels on while she beats up the Masha. Listen, M's already tall, but now you're also using those platform heels? That's painful. Heather Reichlis took off her shoes. Damn. Zaya Brookside, Ling Lee come out. The inspiration run out the Elegances. They destroy the allegedly AI artwork, and you get our thumbnail for tonight, an ode to Elegance. Cresta, you do get the assist. This was your idea for the thumbnail. I got it to Rob, and I said, this is it. Here we are.
Yo, y'all know I'm an Ash by Elegance hater. I'm an Elegance brand hater, but I was very sports entertained by this. I hate that against my will, I laughed. Well, against my will, I was sports entertained. One, the artwork, when he pulled it off, I was like, yo, what in the Don Callis is going on?
Yep.
If it's AI art, boo! But if it's not, and it's the same person who does the Don Callis painting, you better get your...
It is not Mel Coleman, I can tell you that, because I very much know if it would be Mel. Shout out to my pal Mel. Love her to bits.
Either way, it better not be AI, because I have some choice clanker jokes to make, if that's the case. That being said, though, I kind of lived for the painting. It low-key, like I said, besides Don Callis, it reminded me of the painting from Ghostbusters of the old guy. You remember Ghostbusters, the guy who was like, I can't think of his name. It wasn't Egon. I think it was one of the Ghostbusters himself. But it was the old wizard with, oh my God.
I can't remember.
Somebody in chat, you know what I'm talking about. Ghostbusters, the one with Slimer. Viggo. Thank you. Period. Viggo Mortensen? What? Viggo what?
Viggo Mortensen.
Who's that?
The director? The actor?
I don't know her.
Anyway. He, by the way. It's a he.
No, everyone's her in my book. How about that?
Wow.
I was going to make a joke, but he's corny now for other reasons. Anywho, I kind of lived for when Iceman was like, she's our savior. But I was upset when Ash by Elegance didn't come out in a Mother Teresa or Mary of Magdalene. She couldn't. You had the opportunity to be the funniest person on the planet. But this was great. Masha coming out saying, this is too much. Enough. I'm crashing this party. I've had it. This was a fluke. I'm like, I believe it, Masha. But you're not staying here. You're about to get cheated out your boots. Because I see what TNA is doing with people like you. Sorry, you, Santana, Joe. Who else might be at the top of the card? It won't be Macklin, because they're holding on to Macklin with dear life. But, you know, whoever else is leaving, they're going to try to prop you guys up until you go play in NXT. I do like that Zaya, and when Zaya Lee and Lei Ling Lee came out.
Zaya Brookside.
Zaya Lee is the
same okay. Person. It's okay. I think it's a sick joke that they put them together because they knew people like us would have to figure out who is who. Because you can't say Zaya Lee and Zaya Brookside. No, it's Zaya Brookside and Laying Lee, the former Zaya Lee.
Like, bro, it's giving me a migraine. But no, Zaya Brookside was booking it. And I have to say, that's the fastest I've seen someone actually run to make a save. Lucky it wasn't the Hardys. They would have.
Did you see the inspiration? The inspiration just casually sauntering down.
They sauntered down, bro. Like, I don't. Anyway, this was good.
They got this. That's how it looked.
But it's the inspiration, man. Like I can't sports slander the inspiration.
You because can't. When you they left, it, coward.
Nah. Because when they left, and then people started making tag team belts, I was like, "Yo, where's the Iconics? Where's Riot Squad?" So now that they're here, I can't be like, "I made a line." So I'm going to say that Salter, take your time, girls. Give them the tag titles. Stop pussyfooting around. I'm not mad at it. I was sports entertained. I just wish. The only real critique I have is that if Ash is going to be a heel, I get it. But the promos, maybe we could do something else instead of I did it, me. And I get that's how you're supposed to be. But we could add other words besides me. It was giving Ashanti, baby. Like, it's the same thing. So we could put like, I did it. Who do you think you are? I am. Look at a meme. I don't know. But overall, I was sports entertained. And you know I hate being sports entertained by these people.
Still wouldn't be surprised if he just drops the title to Indy Hartwell at Bound for Glory and that's it.
You know what? That makes sense too.
I mean, we'll talk about that in a few minutes because the number one contenders match is after the Ali promo. He says as a final warning. By the way, the Ali promo, which shocker, it was very good. It was very well produced. It looked good and it sounded great. He's on a big stage, a big almost as if he's giving a big campaign speech because he is Mustafa Ali. It's a final warning to the system. He says he'll shut them down. He says, I will retaliate. If they spark a fire, I will drown it out. If they demand justice, I will deliver judgment. And when they beg for mercy, I will respond with silence. He says, there's no middle ground. You stand with order four, you fall with the system. And he says, TNA is mine. Cresta certainly feels like if and when they were going to pull the trigger on a Santana world title match, this would be the first guy he would go up against. Again, going back to the idea of a diametrically opposed babyface and heel dynamic, these two men who had a hell of a showing earlier this year, they should probably run it back like we've been talking about for the last forever. But this was good. I really liked what Ali was doing here.
Ali does this too good because I almost said F you while he was spitting his little speech. Where was this for when the system was running amok though? You were conveniently absent. So I respect the gusto, Mr. Ali. Don't beat me up because I know how y'all give it up. Y'all do hit women.
Damn.
This was so good.
You're not lying. It's just the one guy. Agent Big Bill Zero.
Ali definitely hit Tasha Steelz.
That is something that happened, yes.
He definitely hit Tasha
Steelz. But it was a big ruse. It turned out it was a big ruse. It was all Tasha said do it. That was how he explained it away.
Sure. Anyway. This is great. I hate that he does this so good. And it's like, this is cool and all. But again, where was this when the system was really running amok? And instead of worrying about the system, you should be worried about Trick Williams. Overall, though, you got it, pal. This is what I want to see. When I see factions on TV, each one of TNA's factions, well, let me not say each. Yeah, there's only like two, really. But they are like very unique, distinct identities. And I live for that. I do live for that. If Ali keeps on keeping on, he's going to go into my conversation of people being on TV every week. Because Order 4, for the most part, not every week, but damn near every week, Order 4 is on TV. The good hands who were getting jobbed out the first time around are now... They're not good hands. They're great hands, amazing hands. One hand washes the other. Tasha Steelz, who, in my opinion, was a little rudderless for a while, especially after Savannah Evans left and they stopped doing whatever they were doing with them. Now she feels like I can't imagine any week without her. So this is great. Ali plays this too well, you ruthless bastard. And in a world that doesn't exist, I would love to see Ali and Order 4 versus the Don Callis family. Because Ali versus, oh my God, Ali versus Kyle Fletcher versus Konosuke.
Keep dreaming.
I digress. I'm Tommy Dreamer over here. My eyes are closed.
No, if it's Tommy Dreamer, you're gonna get that match in like 30 years.
But everyone got one leg, one arm.
Good luck.
This moment was great. This Ali promo is great. I can't wait for Santana. I just want them to build up other people around him because I feel like it'll eventually be Ali and Santana. but build up other people around them so everyone has something to do. So whoever eventually loses to Ali on his way gets a good rub, you know, and elevates up the card.
Well, speaking of rubs, Indy Hartwell is the number one contender for the Knockouts World Championship. She defeats Jody Threat and Dani Luna. Jody Threat did not look smart throughout this match. She's trying to level with Dani at the beginning, and Dani doesn't want to hear it. She basically, the idea here is her emotions get in the way the entire time. She's trying to take out Dani. She does try to win the match against Indy a couple of times, usually just by doing roll-ups or whatever. But the story of the match was Jody trying to stop Dani while Indy tries to win a match. She's very much the odd woman out. You may as well let her take advantage, which she does. She rolls up Jody Threat. Dani had been tossed out of the match for a few minutes. And then post-match, Dani Luna attacks Indy Hartwell and knocks out Jody Threat. So again, this is like we talked about last week. You could feel that they were going to do Indy versus Dani. They could be doing it as early now as Victory Road. Although I think they might do Jody and Dani at this point. And then Indy, so Indy's got the Bound for Glory title match. I said this earlier, Indy wins at Bound for Glory. Dani Luna's the first challenger. Jody being the odd woman out kind of bums me out just as a Jody Threat fan. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious as to where they see Jody going, given that right now she's a little bit of a woman without an island, so to speak.
Hot take.
Damn.
Jody Threat needs to be with Rosemary.
Why?
Jody Threat is a victim of do the right thing. She's a good person. She wants to make sure everything is fair, square. But baby, you got to break out of that because these are mean. These are vicious bitches. There's no nice way to say that. These are some mean women. And Jody Threat can wrestle. She can wrestle. But much like Xia Brookside, you sweet as pie. You think everyone is nice. And Dani Luna showed you that not everyone's nice. So with Rosemary, not saying Rosemary should miss you, but you need to bring out your, like, that wild child running crazy. But that's what you need. Trying to level with Dani Luna, who already said, I don't give a heck. I'm biting people's face off. And I dyed my hair green. I'm a poisonous frog. Let's go. I can't be mad at Dani Luna for doing what she said she was going to do. And Indy Hartwell, she's nice too. But Indy said, I'm focused. I don't care what you got going on. You saw that in the beginning of the match when Threat is like to Luna, yo, whatever. And Indy's like, what are you doing? This is a wrestling match, not a talking. What are you, Naruto? Talk no jutsu? This is a wrestling match. We're not doing that here. What's wrong with you? So I hate this for Jody Threat, too. Let me be clear here. I think Jody Threat is fantastic. But Jody Threat needs, she needs mean classes. Like, there's no other way to say it. She needs mean classes. And even if she doesn't have to get mean, you got to get focused like Indy is. Because Indy's eyes are like, we're cool, but I'm focused here. I got something to do. And Dani Luna's like, I'm killing everybody. So that's why I said Rosemary. I hope that's not too hot of a take. But Rosemary does bring out the mean in people, and Threat might need it.
It's not a hot take. It's just funny because you mentioned, you know, she needs mean classes. And when Jody started up with TNA with Impact a few years ago, we had her on In the Weeds, and I asked her about, you know, the acting side of wrestling because she's not much for acting at the time. She was very much like a really good wrestler who has a really great look, and she stands out of a crowd. And she basically said, you know, I'm taking acting classes. I am working on it. And you can see that she's been working on it. She's not perfect, but she's been, it's night and day. You watch when she started and then yeah, until now, you can see a stark difference in how she comes across in a pre-tape or how she comes across in promo. You can see the growth, which is fantastic. I do think that there is room for a heel character, but I don't think it's now, given that Dani just turned heel, unless they're going to have Dani and Jody both go heel, team up again, which doesn't make much sense because you just split them up and you said, like, that's it for Spitfire. Mm-hmm. But I guess if they're heels, then they can do whatever they want because the heels cheat to win and blah, blah, blah. And the inspiration would then have people to go against in the tag division if they won the tag titles. So, like, there's room for it. Jody exploring a bad girl side would be interesting to me, but I don't know if Rosemary's the person to do it. I think a feud with Rosemary is more, we're trying to really babyface this babyface Xia Brookside, for instance. She's not dark realm enough.
I can't think of anyone else who would be great for threat to sharpen her, because like Ender in chat says she'd smarten her up. That's exactly what she needs, like a Don Cash. She needs someone who's going to smarten her up, wisen her up, because it's like, I think she plays a really good person well. But there's people in this industry, if you're talking about just TNA, there's people like Luna who's always going to ruin it for you. There's going to be people who like Indy Hartwell who's like, I feel bad for you, but I'm going to ask for the whole Elegance brand, the inspirations. You could be nice, but you can't be too nice. Cody Rhodes learned that hard way. He got busted open by the Rock he thought was his friend. That's not, no one's your friend here. So like, not, she needs an Alicia Edwards or someone who's going to be like, sister, you're great. But also, what are you doing? Not Order 4, because they'll beat you up. But Order 4, because they'll beat you up. You know what I mean?
I'm curious to see where she lands. But again, just in this match, it was strange to see her try to play this role of, you know, not a smart wrestler who's suddenly overwrought with emotion. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it goes. Someone in the chat saying getting her with Eric Young. That's a good idea. I think, because we're going to go into Joe Hendry in this segment. I think Eric Young is a good shout. If you turn the Northern Armory into, as you've said, a winning team for a change.
That's also a fact.
maybe she becomes that person. She becomes a winning bad guy. Joe Hendry comes out, says he finally beat up The Miz on a house show this weekend, which for those of you who follow Fightful Select, best 599 in the business, we had discussed that at one point Joe Hendry was supposed to come out and work with The Miz, and Joe Hendry's talked about it. It was supposed to happen on house shows last year, and it didn't happen, so this was the make good. Got to do it three times while they were overseas, was WWE. And then he was on NXT, and because he showed up in the main event for whatever reason, because someone said his name. And then he says, well, my heart's in Minneapolis, allegedly. He calls out Eric Young. They come out. EY says Hendry's an idiot. Yep. And then he believes Hendry is the problem. Yep. Says his first match in TNA, when he locked up with him, he should have known then to get rid of him. And to which I said, when did they have a match together? They didn't. In fact, this is going to be their first one-on-one match. But they have been in the ring together. They did a Collie Shot Gauntlet a couple times. They've done stuff. They've worked together. Anyway, he says he'll do whatever it takes to fix the problem. The cleanse begins with Hendry. Hendry says, let's do it tonight. EY says, nah, next week. And then Joe Hendry's like, well, we'll wait for Santino to make his decision. And I was like, sure. Okay. Hendry says a lot of things. EY sets up the match. Your thoughts?
Joe Hendry still work here? That was my thought.
I'll give it another couple months.
I was surprised to see him. My second thought, this is all kayfabe, so before y'all get mad at me, not the specter of TNA being confused. You remind me of that dead body guy from MIB. Once his body started deteriorating, he wasn't making no sense. He was stinking what the bug was hiding inside of. That's you right now, because you're deteriorating because you died.
Wait, almost isn't that the guy who's currently the head of health and... No. What, it was brain worms, right? That might be.
Yeah, it's a body worm, but this guy got brain worms. Yo, whoever says you aren't funny is a liar. You're mean and funny. But when he said that, when he was like, oh, you're the worst thing that happened to TNA, I'm like, that's a lie though. Because I know mad people who was like, I'll never watch TNA, but if you say his name, they're like, and he appears. Don't do that. Don't do that, Eric Young. Second of all, didn't you lose a lot about the cleanse starts with him? It's, brother, where was this energy for the system? I have to remind you guys that the system was terrorizing us for a year and some change. Now all of a sudden everyone wants a change after the system turns face. Where was this for the system? Third of all, Brother. Eric Young, you're dead. I'm so confused. You got ghouls following you in the Northern Armory, and you want to fight Joe Hendry because he's the problem? You need an exorcism.
You're trying to say he's the problem? It's him?
It's he's problem. It's him. It's him. It's you, Eric Young. Instead of you being like Raven or Sting, like a true specter in the rafters, you're down here threatening Joe Hendry, who just wants to pop out of refrigerators. Where was this for the system? Where is this for Ali? Ali's actively threatening to kill people. He said, if you don't bow your head, I'm going to break your neck. Why are you thinking it's out on Jesus? He's not even about to work here no more. I'm so sports confused.
It's funny when they turned the system and just didn't explain it until they had Lish come out and be like, oh, we just thought we wanted to right our wrongs. That's all. And it's okay. Dark State made us do it.
Ooh, Dark State made me do it. You know what? That's going to be my new tagline. Dark State made me do it.
Dark State made me do it. Don't worry. NXT is already doing Dark State made me do it, because every other week it's a Dark State 8-man tag with whoever's going after the tag titles and Dark State, and then two people who are feuding and whatever.
I'm going after the tag titles. Tag me in Dark State. Tag me in Pals.
Tag me out. Tag me out from that theory. Oh, God. Anyway, next week, Henry and EY lock up. That'll be fun. I look forward to that match. EY always has a good one. Santino's backstage with Leon Slater. He puts over his recent interviews and says, oh, I saw you mentioned Jake Something and the Rascals. Apparently, Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz are cleared. Trey did mention that, actually, on socials, that he is cleared, which is great to hear. Wentz is cleared as well. So it looks like Something, Trey Miguel, and Zachary Wentz, and Leon Slater are moving towards a match that may have an Ultimate X on it.
I will say this. This promo, and I don't know if this was on purpose or maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that promo right after the Eric Young promo, after he was talking to Myron Reed about being replaced, and then they don't mention him at all.
Oh, I did notice that too. I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm like, okay, I don't like to see the Rascals fight. They're my little brothers in my mind, you know, all four of them, even Wesley. Okay.
All I'm saying is I told you so, if this is where it's going, because we did sit here and y'all were just like, you crazy, you crazy. I'm like, not so crazy.
I'm not mad, but I also like to quote Cardi B, I have eyes. I can see what's happening here. So it's like, it's funny that you would mention that, because it'd been one thing if you just said Trey Miguel. I'll give you that. It's not the first time Trey Miguel's gone for the Ultimate X, and you can keep Zachary Wentz and Myron Reed around. I don't know what Myron Reed's schedule is, because I know Myron Reed is like, yo, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Hey, I'm out. Hey, bye. So I'm not mad at that. But also, to do it right after Eric Young was like, you ain't going to do nothing. This place has a disease. I see it coming. And then you don't mention Myron Reed. I can't take the rest. I can't take that. Don't. They've already been through so much. I can't take that.
Is there a delay in the football game or something? People are saying that it's going to go back in like 30 minutes. So welcome, because we have the show you want to watch instead. Leave a thumbs up, donate a super chat or a humper chat. Let's talk about this main event. Well, first of all, next week, Moose and AJ Francis, Joe Hendry and Eric Young. Mara Sade teams up with the Hardys to defeat the Order 4, the Great Hands and Tasha Steeles. Big Bill Zero gets involved, Agent Zero. Referee Daniel Spencer is useful. He sees it and he ejects him.
I know you were going to be hype about that. Like, oh, Daniel Spencer, you know Joel's going to say something.
Like, damn, Daniel Spencer got eyes. Good for him. Gave him a promotion, and then suddenly he could see. He got that LASIK with that new money. Good for him.
Not the LASIK.
He can see. Oh, apparently there's a rain delay. Good for football. I don't watch football. Anyway, there's no rain delays in wrestling, except for that one time at WrestleMania. Anyway, Zero basically refuses to leave, and Skyler has to escort him out, which is the funniest stupid shit in the world. Sade, towards the end, hits a finisher. Skyler grabs Sade, teases the favor, and then Matt Hardy makes a save. Sade hits the lead assault. Jeff hits a swanton bomb, gets the win. Post-match, lots of awkward celebration. They show a lot of clips. They go back and show the highlights. And then the Nemeths return, and they take out the Hardys, and the Nick super kicks Mara Sade. And I think to myself, wait, they want the tag titles back. But wait, Cresta, are you aware of where Victory Road is happening at the, well, to 2-3 weeks from now?
I don't know where it's happening, love.
Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Do you remember why we had to get the titles off the Hardys? I don't... I really hope we're not doing this again.
I won't lie to you. I always forget about that. Oh.
Because they were definitely playing it up as if the Nemeths want their tag team title rematch.
They definitely did.
They lost them at Slammiversary. And you know what? They're saying it in the chat, and this is the one thing I agree with. You get the titles back on the Nimitz before Bound for Glory, so that the Hardys do not have to put up the tag titles against Team 3D in this ridiculous last match that they're doing, which I think is main eventing Bound for Glory. So have the Nimitz take the titles from them before Victory Road or after, who knows? Regardless, I don't think Jeff's going across the border because he couldn't last time. Maybe something's changed in between May and now, but that's where we're at.
I'm sports entertained derogatory by what you just said. I totally forgot about that. Like, we're doing the Hardys run, whatever it is. On the other hand, I'm also sports chaotic. Let them put the titles on the line against the Dudley boys. Let's see what happens.
Well, I mean, they're already doing some sort of contract signing at the tapings. Mm-hmm. So for those who follow the spoilers like I do, you'll know by the end of tomorrow what the situation is going to be for the Team 3D match. I think the Nemeths are going to walk out with the tag titles. If not at Victory Road, then on a TV episode. They don't have another live between now and Bound for Glory. So instead, you can just take the titles off of them and be done with it. Maybe Team 3D screws the Hardys out of the tag titles so you get some modicum of heat on this particular story.
Yeah, I could see that. Don't hate it. Even if you wanted to have a third brother team in there, you could add the Nemeths to the TLC match, because there's definitely not a third team that was in the original TLC match, only these two. As far as the match is concerned, I'm black, so I can say this. I see what you Hardy brothers are doing. First you did it with Leon Slater, and now you're doing it with Mara Sade. This is why you can come to the cookout and get you a plate. I see what's happening here, and I like the rub. I do, because I do feel like this is the best she's looked in TNA. I gotta give her that moonsault was straight. It was a solid moonsault. I never seen her do that before, so I'm not mad at that. If she's trying to do something more extreme, who else to learn from than Team Extreme? I will never be mad at the Hardys. I've heard only good things about them, especially with younger talent. Like, you want to do this? Let me show you how to do it safely, so you end up like me and my brother, okay? Me and my brother are messed up. I want you guys to do it great. So I'm not mad at this. I think this was a good showcase match for Mara. I thought she was going to get the pin on Skylar, but the swanton from Jeff, not mad at that. I do agree with the uncomfortably long ending with saying everything, the Nemeths coming out. Super kicking Mara was unnecessary. I hope Mara screws them at whatever title match that they have. I don't know. What you said now really makes me think, like, damn, they might get the title off the Nemeths. Off the Hardys. But if they do that, you can have someone else challenge for it at Victory Road. And then at Bound for Glory, if you're going to do the TLC, I could absolutely see the Nemeths being in there for limitation's sake. Because while I know Matt and Jeff can go to an extent, Bubba could go to an extent, it is to my understanding, D-Von got a nekiotomy. And D-Von can't do a lot of the stuff D-Von used to do.
D-Von didn't do much to begin with. Because...
I mean, yeah, but also...
The man had a stroke, but he swears up and down that it was stress-related and he's fine now. He says he can roll around in the ring. He says that he's, you know, he gets in there at Team 3D Dojo and, like, he does stuff. I don't expect this to be. I think people are going to work around him, not with him. Bully lost that House of Glory title to Zilla tonight. So that's done. One and done, literally. So, yeah. Yep.
I don't mind the Nemeths being involved in that. You know what I mean? Like, it's so kind of like if you had the Rascals involved in that. I understand why you're here.
So let me give you an idea. Tomorrow night, they're taping Impact in Minneapolis, and that's going to take us to Victory Road. They're doing all of the branding for Victory Road, which, by the way, again, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, all of the branding has Matt Hardy, no Jeff. So the Night of Champions Q&A photo op they're doing at the Rec Room, Matt Hardy's there, Trick is there, Macklin's there, Ash by Elegance is there. Who's that at the top of this? Oh, Leon Slater, and then Santino and Gia Miller. They're on the poster. Victory Road itself, Matt Hardy's there, Masha's there, Moose, Joe Hendry, Nick and Ryan Nemeth, Eric Young, they're there. The tapings the next night in Edmonton cover the 2 weeks that lead to Bound for Glory. So whatever they're doing, that's why they're taping this Team 3D thing tomorrow, is because it's the last time that they got to use Jeff a lot for tomorrow, because they're not going to have Jeff at least on a show that's taped between now and Bound for Glory. They're not going to have him once they go to Edmonton at the end of the month. And that's why I think the Nemeths are going to win tomorrow night at the tapings, so that they can get that out of the way, knowing they're not going to have Jeff. Or they'll do some silly shenanigans at Victory Road where Matt has to defend the titles on his own, or find another partner and lose the titles that way. But then you got to deal with the outcome of that. Like, Jeff comes back, is like, sorry, man. Sorry, brother. I couldn't be there. It's like, that's a silly ass story. I hate we lost the titles because of a technicality, and the technicality is I can't cross the border. A little too real for me. I'd rather they just do a one on, and I don't like one on one matches for the tag titles either. They did that at a WrestleMania. They did it at COVID Mania, and that was silly too, because Miz had COVID. So they did a triple threat ladder match with one competitor from each tag team. That shit didn't fly either. So wouldn't be surprised if they just do that. Matt will probably wrestle on the shows in Edmonton. He did it in Toronto the same way. He teamed up with Leon Slater. You cannot bring Matt Hardy and not have him appear and not have him wrestle. He will wrestle. He will do it, and they'll make good use of him, because again, the Hardys are the guys. Joe Hendry's another one. They're the ticket movers. Santana's becoming that guy. Matt, you know, these are the guys that move the tickets. So you got to present at least one of the Hardys if you can't have both of them.
I wonder, and I'm not like, obviously I'm not Canadian, but I wonder how long stuff like that takes to drop off before you come and visit again. You know what I mean? I don't know anything about the law. I'm just saying this out loud. I just wonder how long, you know, and if there's special circumstances, and I don't know.
There were no special circumstances last time. So
yeah,
I don't expect them this time.
How long does that drop off? Like, does it drop off like your lowest grade? Like, damn.
It's you can appeal, and there can be special circumstances given, but I don't know Jeff's situation, because he is a multi-time offender, quite frankly. And Canada is pretty strict when it comes to things like DUIs.
Yeah.
Like, that will stop you from coming into the country.
Listen, I don't blame. I've seen some of the immigration things for no reason at all besides my personal research for Canada and Australia. Y'all like, listen, we already got a bad rap, and I don't care. I don't want no rapscallions here. Okay. I respect it. As an American who's a rapscallion, I respect it.
Well, this rapscallion is going to take some time off. Go away for a little while. They ran short at the finish, but we ran long, because that's what we do. We're back next week. We're going to counter program that piddly ass Freddy Got Fingered review that Sean is so excited for. The puppets won't even be there. Okay. The whole sale on this damn thing. I'm not going to backtalk it, because honestly, I don't want Sean to lose his ass, because then I lose my job. But the point of all this is we're still going to do our show, because there's still wrestling on, and that's what this channel still does as well, along with the other thing that we're talking about. So instead, we'll be here. Well, you won't. I will. And maybe SB3. Maybe not. We'll see. But Cresta, you're going away. I'm sorry. We're never going to see you again. It's over. We're going to throw you into the Sarlacc pit. It's over. I'm sorry.
I'm into the gulag, y'all, with Drew Gulak in the gulag. No.
Careful.
You're right. I was like, damn, think about your wrestling lore. I'm just in the gulag, as it turns out. I'm just in the gulag. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be gone for 6 weeks. I love you all. I have speeches for each day, so here's speech one. Take care of your mental health. Yeah, I don't care. Take care of your mental health, y'all. It is very important to do so. I'm taking 6 weeks off. I'll be watching wrestling, trying to shoot some YouTube content, because I want to transition into that. But again, I cannot stress enough that your mental health is very important. And that's why I'm taking time off. And I think that anyone, if you struggle, talk to people. If you know that they struggle, if you love somebody, tell them that you miss them. Tell them that you love them. And I'm not one to, I'm always jokey joke, but life is short and life is strange. So please take care of your mental health, because all it takes is for one bad day for your brain to literally snap and you might not be here tomorrow. So I love you all. It's wrestling. It's never that deep. Let's laugh in kayfabe. And Joel, you are fantastic. I'm going to miss you the most. You're my grandfather of wrestling. You're my fairy godfather.
You're calling me old? Jesus Christ. I'm not that
I'm
old.
I'm just as I'm older than you. I'm 80,007 years old.
Okay, fair. Hey, are you back by October 12th?
No, I'll be back after October 12th.
So you're going to be back for the fallout from Bound for Glory?
Yes, yes. All right. If Mike Santana is not champion,
then you ain't coming back whatsoever, which I don't blame you.
I think I'm going to walk away from the grind. Absolute cinema over here.
I don't think Mike Santana's winning. But anyway, another conversation for another time. It all depends on the main event of Bound for Glory. Cresta, we're going to miss you for those 6 weeks. Like I said, this show's not going anywhere. Myself, maybe SP3 some weeks. We'll see. But we'll still have TNA reviews. Begrudgingly, we'll still do it just for y'all. Leave a thumbs up on the way out. Leave us super thanks. That's a thing that you can do. It's just money after the fact. Tell us how much you love us. For Cresta Star, you know who she is. You know who I am. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, Macklin, Deonna Purrazzo, they'll be on In the Weeds right at the beginning. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
See you in 6 weeks.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.